Hey team, it's Francis. I had a great chat with the lovely Jim Mora from RNZ Sunday Mornings, and we had the best conversation ranging across all sorts of topics from KiwiSaver to what's going on with the property market to what's happening with the economy more generally, and even gold and the share market. So I thought with all of that in there, it would probably be really relevant to you. They've given me permission to post it here so you can have a little listen through and hear my thoughts on those matters. Hope it's useful.
Fast Money with Francis Cook. We call this Fast Money, but it doesn't imply people have any at the moment. It's fast in the sense of being a short chat about the subject that is never far from people's minds. KiwiSaver hardship withdrawals have hit a new high, 40,000 in the year to the end of April, more than double the usual numbers. And that is a sad sign of the times. Kia ora, Francis. Good to talk to you again.
Kia ora. Always lovely to chat.
Well, consumer confidence fell, Francis, in May. The New Zealand Herald reports retail won't recover fully until 2027. A lot of things can happen in the world, can't they, between now and 2027. Construction is set to struggle for some time. You hear that on the ground from builders and plumbers and people like that. We talked last week about the huge numbers of jobs disappearing into the gaping maw of AI already. Liam Dan, I notice in the Herald, admits the toughness of the times. He's very cognizant of that, but also cites the need for confident spending to help New Zealand out of the doldrums. Actually, and he says, just go and buy that new jacket. You know, it looks good. In depressions and recessions, don't people spend to look good still?
Yeah, 100%. There is what we call the lipstick effect, where people will still want to spend a little bit, but money is tight. So you'll sometimes see spending actually increase in the cheaper categories while everything else is plummeting. I would say I'm a huge advocate for put your own oxygen mask on first. And I am trying at the moment to actually be quite conscious about where I spend. If I'm going to spend the money anyway, then I am trying to direct it to local shops or places like hospitality. You know, if I'm wanting to meet up with a friend, I'm not necessarily going out for a big slap up dinner right now, but we might go to a local cafe, grab a coffee and go for a walk together. And that's, you know, a little $7 treat that is doable, and I am making sure my money is supporting a local small business at the same time. I'm not hitting up Kmart and sending that money straight offshore.
Has the all-important Auckland housing market started to turn? Because I've seen two sets of figures. The latest Knight Frank Prime Global Cities Index reports a swing in annual growth to 0.8% in the first quarter of this year from minus 1.7% last quarter. But then I saw all the reports in media here about house prices sagging in Auckland. What can you explain that for us?
Yeah, and it's a tricky one because we're getting all sorts of different numbers depending on who you're talking to and from what timeline you take. I mean, when I look at the realestate.co.nz, they've still got prices down nearly 3% year on year for Auckland. So we're still nowhere near those peaks of 2021. And I don't think we're going to get back there anytime soon. You know, the economy is just a bit squishy still. And a lot of people who've been holding out on putting their house on the market and are hitting the point where they're like, well, I've got to do it or not. Some of the buyers are back, so let's go. So we've got some more buyers back in the market, but we've also got more houses on the market. So it looks like prices are going to stay flat for the immediate future, at least. What I think is probably a good one for people, if you're looking at your housing costs and you're thinking, oh, rates are also insane, insurance are also insane, then you're probably going to want to try to take advantage of the mortgage rates right now, because that is one where you can get a little win and that will make a huge difference for you. So try to make a smart move with your mortgage and make some savings there. So there's maybe a couple more possible interest rate drops coming towards the tail end of this year. But we've had some really good interest rate drops, and we are probably, bearing in mind that everyone's crystal ball is a bit funky, but we are probably at the bottom of the interest rate cycle about now. I don't think there is much more on the way in terms of savings there.
Yeah.
So we are seeing more New Zealanders looking to fix for a year or two, sometimes even longer. And I think it's a good idea to have a chat with your bank, with your mortgage broker, see if you can get some savings there because, you know, bird in the hand, worth two in the bush, right?
Yeah. We always hear at times like these too about the desirability of owning gold. Look, before I ask you about this, with a skeptical note in my voice, do you agree basically that you should always look at holding a bit of gold if you have money?
Not necessarily. Okay, so gold is a funny one. Gold is a very fear-driven investment in general, where it does spike at times like this, where we've got wild instability around the world, and also the money world in general is feeling not great. Even though it is talked about as a safe haven investment, you can get some wild swings in value from gold still. We've had it really spiking in value recently. We saw in the early 2010s, I think it was 2011, where the gold price plummeted 40% and then took years and years to recover.
A 40% drop sounds like crypto territory, doesn't it?
Yes. Well, there's a lot of people compare Bitcoin and gold. They talk about Bitcoin as being digital gold. A lot of similarities there.
I wonder if people even 40 years on now haven't forgotten New Zealand's Gold Corp, you know, when the receivers opened the vaults and there was a good deal of investor gold missing. And so perhaps we'd like the gold bars in our hands so we know we've got them, but won't the trading costs of that make the profit disappear to a reasonable extent?
It is a tricky one. If you're investing in gold, you've got a lot more options today, right? So you can invest in gold bars or gold coins, in which case you either need to pay someone to store it for you safely, and they had better be, you know, a properly vetted storage option. Otherwise, yeah, you're going to run into problems. Some people store it at their own homes. If you choose to do that, invest in a good safe, and please don't tell anyone you're storing gold at your house. That's a great way to get robbed. But there are also other options. If someone is interested in gold, you have gold ETFs, which is exactly the same as investing into, you know, a fund for shares on the share market. You have these funds that are also registered on the share market that let you invest into gold. They're sometimes also called ETCs, which is just an exchange traded commodity. But those can be another good option for people who want an easier way to invest into gold that is properly regulated by the Financial Markets Authority, has to be registered and checked with all the right people. Because yeah, some of the things that happened in the 80s, God, that was a Wild West time for investing. No wonder it all went terribly wrong at various points.
Yeah, this may sound deeply suspicious and possibly naive in the current context from me, but how do you know that some of these funds have the gold?
No, I think it's good to be suspicious when it comes to your money. Always good. They do have to get checked. They do have, you know, rules of getting certain checks regularly from an outside observer. But, you know, it depends how much you trust that, which is, of course, why some people choose to have the physical gold themselves. But there can be people who are on the extreme end of that, and they're also a little bit worried about the apocalypse, where they are wanting to make sure they have gold there in case we hit end times and they're looking to trade it. I would say if you're truly worried about that, I think people are more going to be focused on water and food than gold. But, you know, to each their own.
Yeah, I wonder if the end times were ever to come, if waving a gold bar around in the air would get you any surety about anything. Yeah, but in just getting back to the actual business of buying a bar of gold or a Canadian maple leaf or a Kiwi coin, 1 ounce coin or whatever, you will still have to pay. You'll pay extra. The price you see online might not be the price you pay a gold dealer, yeah?
Yes, and I would say as well, the second-hand gold market is a true Wild West. There's a lot of places you can run into problems when you're buying gold. And the second-hand market is one where you have to be very buyer beware. There are bad actors who will try to dilute gold or try to pass things off that aren't quite correct, counterfeits or whatever. It is best to stick with places like the New Zealand Mint, really high profile, well vetted companies that you know exactly what you're getting. Because, yeah, if you're dealing, there are some people that try to do it through pawn shops and things like that. And it's just probably not going to work out very well for you unless you're extremely experienced.
Just before we leave you, I noticed that there hasn't been much talk online lately about whether it's a good time to get into the share market. What do you think about that?
The economy has hit a slump. What's the share market made up of? Businesses. Businesses are having a tough time and it is very uncertain times. But if you're a seasoned share market investor and you're looking at this and thinking, well, actually, some of these companies are really good quality companies. I don't think it's going to fall over. They're just having a tough time. The argument is there that actually now might be the best time to invest.
Doesn't have to be on New Zealand shares. I mean, anyone can now invest on, I know, Australian and US shares at least, can't they?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, the New Zealand share market, I love to support the New Zealand share market, but we are a tiny fraction of the world. The best thing about shares is how it makes it so easy to invest internationally, to get a little bit of something in Australia, in the US, and then you're protecting yourself against the New Zealand economy having a bad time while the rest of the world might be doing great. It's just another way to do the good old diversification, which we always like to talk about. Always a good thing.
That magic word. Francis, thank you. Always nice to talk to you. I look forward to the next time.
Yes, thank you so much. Lovely to chat. Just a note before you go. This podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet.